Think about this with me. If you induce somebody to appreciate you and to love you based on your false image of yourself, do you really have a relationship, and what is that worth?
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour. When God called us, He called us not only to some things, but also from some things. The Christian life is not merely a list of do's and don'ts, but there are some things we should be doing and some things we need to put off.
Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and we've been in this chapter for a few messages now, and we're probably going to stay in here for a couple more. But I want to focus in on one particular verse in verse 9 and spills over into verse 10 as we consider this study. So let's pray and ask for God's help as we look at what the Lord has to say to us today. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would be with us in a very special way now, that you would challenge our hearts, challenge our thinking, cause that we'd be more aware of you in our lives. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've been singing a lot this morning about the precious name of Jesus and how no one compares to him. And so as a result of those considerations, we need to, as he exhorts us in verse 1 of chapter 3, we need to seek those things which are above. Our focus and our mindset needs to be on God and not on the things down here on the earth. And that needs to be the focal point of our lives. And yet, when we focus on the Lord, as we read through the chapter, we find out that there are some things that get taken out of our lives and other things that get put on into our lives. There are some things that we take off and some things that we put on. And if you use the metaphor that I used the last time, we sort of change uniforms from one team to the next team as we join the Lord's army and decide to fight with him. And one of the things we talked before, excuse me, about immorality and how that needs to be put off and uncleanness and those things. And then as you skip down through verse 8, it tells us that we're to put off anger and wrath and malice. And we talked about those things there in verse 8 as they come off. But there's something that's mentioned there in verse 9 that needs special attention. And that is in verse 9, he says, "Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds." According to a recent survey, 5.8% of employees admitted to falsifying timesheets. 6.6% of retail employees admitted to stealing merchandise. 57% said that they had abused their employee discount privileges. 100% of us have lied to one another. And so the challenge is that if we're going to seek those things which are above and not the things that are down here on the earth, one of the things that we got to take out of our lives is this thing of being dishonest with each other. And there are four reasons that I want to explore why we lie. You ever thought about that? Why do we tell lies anyway? From the time that we're little toddlers, you know, we start that process of learning how to lie. Well, there are four things. I want you to take note of these four things because I want them to challenge your own heart. And I want you to think about where you stand with each one of these four characteristics of people who would tell a lie. The first one is, and it's probably the most common for children, is that we lie out of fear of the consequences. We lie because we don't want the consequences of our deeds. It's especially true of children who are trying to avoid the spanking are trying to avoid the punishment that's going to be dished out. And so because they don't want to sit in the corner for a half hour or whatever the form of punishment is going to be, that even though the evidence is dripping all over their face, they didn't do it. And they'll deny it all the way down to the end. And that's common. The fear of punishment is so strong that we will lie and we will avoid identifying with the truth as long as we can. Unfortunately, there are many adults who have not grown out of that fear of consequences. There are many adults who still don't want to just face the music and be challenged by taking responsibility for what they do. And rather than face the music, they try and get away with as much as they can. And so the Bible reminds us that we need to be sure our sins will find you out. The Bible reminds us that there is a God in heaven, and he sees all that goes on down here on the earth. And so what we need to do is we need to not be so afraid of the consequences down here, but if our minds are set in heaven, we won't lose sight of the justice of God. That's the consequence that we really need to be afraid of. We need to be afraid that there's a God in heaven who sees all and knows all, and he will track you down. And he will make sure that you pay. But you see, when our eyes are not seeking the things above and we're focused so much on down here on the earth, we lose track of God in heaven. And so when we're doing something wrong, what do? We're looking over our shoulder to see what human eyes might see us. And if no human eyes see us, we think we're good. We think we've gotten away. And yet God is there in heaven and he sees all. And every now and again for his children, the Bible tells us that those whom he loves, he chastens. Every now and again, he smacks us over our head just to remind us that he's there and he sees. And maybe for a minute, we'll back up and remember that God is in heaven. But unfortunately, for a lot of us, it doesn't take very long before we slip right back into our everyday mode of forgetting about God, forgetting about his justice, forgetting about the fact that he sees all and knows all. And so our fear of consequences is on a human level, and it causes us to lie. It's a sign that our minds are still set on the things on the earth. And so it's easy to read a verse like verse 1 and that says, seek those things which are above where Christ is seating at the right hand of God. It's easy to read those verses and to imagine ourselves, worshiping God and waving our hands and singing the songs and doing all those things. But if you're telling lies, it's a sign that you're not real. I don't care what's coming else out of your mouth, bitter and sweet water dripping out of your lips. If you're telling lies, it's a sign that you're not seeking things above, but you're still seeking those things that are on earth. Amen. But that's nobody here. So we'll move on to number 2. We also tell lies due to pride. Pride. We don't want others to see the sin that we're capable of. After all, I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm the pastor of the church. I don't want people to know how human and sinful I really am. Pride. And pride will drive us to lie and to hide our true selves. There's an interesting story. Dr. F.E. Marsh tells a story about how he was preaching in his church one day, and he was preaching on a message on confession of sins. And so there was a young man who came to him after the service, and the young man said to him, I was convicted my conscience is convicting me about copper nails. And so F.E. Martin said, what? What do you mean copper nails? And so he began to tell the story to Dr. Marsh, and he said that, you know what? I work down at the docks as a boat builder, and we use copper nails because they don't rust in the water. And I'm working on this project at my house, my own private project. I'm building a boat. And so one day I took some copper nails from the job and took them home to help me build this boat in my garage. And your message today has convicted me that I need to confess. But I have a problem. I've been trying to witness to this boss of mine. I've been trying to get him to come to church. And he won't come to church. He doesn't have the time of day for my witness or for Christianity. And if I go and tell him that I've been stealing his copper nails after I have been trying to witness to him for so long, there's no way in the world I'll ever get him in the church. And so Dr. Marr said, well, you know what you better do? You need to just go and confess and leave the rest in the Lord's hands. A few weeks later, he came back to Dr. Marsh all excited, and he said, you know what? I confessed, and I told my boss that I had taken the copper nails, and the boss was, like, ecstatic that I would come. He was surprised that I would come and confess that. But he said all along, he pretty much knew that I was the one who had been taken. And that's why he didn't want to have anything to do with the church or with Christianity, because he just was turned off by that. But then he concluded that any faith that would cause a man to confess his sin like that and to turn himself in must have something valid to it. And so he decided that he would listen to the gospel and attend his church. Sometimes our pride is not only causing us to lie, but it becomes a hindrance and a roadblock in our testimony around us. Pride. And so for some of us, we fear people and we don't fear God. And for others of us, what we do is we're so inept in trying to maintain our own image that we end up telling lies. An honest person has learned to take off that mask that we wear and make ourselves vulnerable to other people so that they can see who we really are and to see our faults. As long as we're protecting our image, we're going to be tempted to be dishonest. We come to church with the mask on. We go to work with the mask on. We go home with the mask on. And we don't take the mask off for anybody. Some of us don't even take the mask off for our family, our spouse. And the reality is, listen to me now, that especially when it comes to your family, they know who you are anyway. They know, they can see behind the mask anyway. You might as well take it off and be real. And yet it's such a struggle for us to take that mask off. We're so bent on protecting that image that we're trying to project. And even at the cost of dishonesty and telling lies, we're going to hold that image up. After all, I come to church with my Bible, and I know all my doctrine, and I serve on this ministry group and that ministry group, and I don't want them to know who I really am, you know, what I think about on Tuesday night, what I'm watching on Friday night, the music I'm listening to as I go through the, you know, driving in the car. I don't want people to see all the struggles that I have. And so what do? We put the mask on, and it drives us to lie. It drives us to project the self-image. Now, I want you to think about something. Think about this with me. If you induce somebody to appreciate you and to love you based on your false image of yourself, Do you really have a relationship, and what is that worth? If I put a big mask on, my Halloween costume, and get you to like me based on this Halloween costume, then I don't really have an authentic relationship. The only way I can have a valuable relationship is to just finally take the mask off, say, this is who I am, take it or leave it. Amen. And isn't that how we establish a relationship with God? We establish a relationship with God. It's only possible when we finally take off the mask and say, God, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. And we ask for his forgiveness. And then he receives us just as I am without one plea. And when we come to God that way, then we have a meaningful, valuable relationship with him. And the same thing works in our human relationships. If we're going to have a valuable, meaningful relationship, it's got to be based on truth. And it can't be based on wearing some costume and a mask, projecting some false image. Are you still with me, Marco? Yeah. Pride. Pride. Pride is at the center of a lot of stuff, but it's at the center of a lot of our dishonesty as well. So don't let pride stop you from stepping out from behind your mask. We all need those relationships, and it's only possible when we are honest with somebody. In fact, I think all of us need somebody that we can take the mask off with and be honest with. We all need somebody who'll be honest with us, and we can be honest with them and project who we really are. And then thirdly, make a note of this. We lie because the old man is still in control. We lie because the old man is still in control. Take a look at verse 9. Verse 9 is, it tells us, it says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. If you put off the old man, it's gonna eliminate a lot of that dishonesty, since it's losing track of God and that fear and pride that's going to cause us and drive us to lie, then if we put off the old man with his deeds, we will also put away lying. The difference between the old man and the new man is outlined for us. And I want you to take a note of this. It's in verse 10. We see a stark difference between the old man and the new man. He says in verse 10, to put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. That's very important. I don't know if you've ever thought about what the image of God is all about. I've mentioned this, I haven't done it in a little while, to talk about the image of God. But you know, down through the Christian ages, there's been a lot written about what does it mean when it says that we are created in the image of God. And when you stop and think about that, some people think, well, it's our creativity as people. And some people talk about our intelligence as human beings. But none of those things really touch the difference, the basic difference between animals and men. The fact that we are created in God's image. And the reality is that more contemporary theologians are leaning more and more toward the idea that being created in the image of God has to do with our capacity for self-sacrifice and our capacity for love. In other words, animals operate based on instinct and they do what is instinctual for them to do. Human beings have a unique capacity to operate against their own self-interest for the betterment of somebody else. After all, isn't that our definition of love? Love is the giving of ourselves for the welfare of others without requiring anything in return. And human beings have this unique capacity to sacrifice themselves for the betterment of somebody else. It's exemplified perfectly in Jesus. Jesus is the one who came and he laid down his life. He sacrificed his life for our welfare and demonstrated love to the world. And you and I, being created in the image of God, we have that same capacity to be able to give of ourselves for the welfare of other people. We have this capacity because we're created in His image. Whether your IQ is 60 or 180, you have an inborn capacity to be able to love other people, to sacrifice yourself. Whether you're an artist and creative or not, you have this capacity, a God-given capacity, to sacrifice yourself for the welfare of other people. This capacity to love is given to us because we're created in the image of God. And honesty is one of those characteristics that come as we walk in the image of God, as we put on the image of God, and as we assume the characteristics of God in our lives. Honesty is the product of the love of God and the love of others regulating our lives. And so in order to have a real relationship with God, it has to start with me giving my life to God. It's me transferring control, transferring what's important to me and giving it to God. Isn't that what you do when you come to Christ? You know, some people think that Jesus is just selling fire insurance. Lord, save me. I don't want to go to hell. And they run down the aisle, say the prayer because they don't want to go to hell. But that's not what Christianity is really all about. That's not what getting saved is really all about. Becoming a Christian is not about just having the punishment removed from you. Being a Christian is really about you giving your life, the control of your life to God. So that now, Lord, it's not what I want to do, but I sacrifice my will, I sacrifice my desires, I sacrifice it all to you. And from this day forward, I want to live a life that's pleasing to you. It's demonstrated that by the choices that you make. So you can tell me that one day you came down the aisle and you said a prayer and you received Jesus into your heart when you were 3 years old. And I say, fine, but if you're not willing to obey the word of God, if you're not willing to do what God asks you to do, then I'm saying that you really haven't given your life to Christ.
Stay right there. We'll return for the conclusion of today's message just after we share a very special offer, just in time for the holiday season. It's the book, The Case for Christmas by Lee Strobel. Who was in the manger on that first Christmas morning? Some say he would become a great moral leader. Still, others view him as a profound philosopher or merely a moral teacher. Who was he really? And how can you know for sure? The Case for Christmas invites readers to consider why Christmas matters in the first place. Somewhere beyond the traditions of the holiday lies the truth. This book would be a great addition to your library, perfect as a gift or for use in ministry during the Christmas season, or really any other time of the year. It's yours for the asking. For your copy, contact our offices at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. Our online address is www.gogfministries.org, or you can call us at 215-361-8111. Here's Dr. Hart with some closing thoughts from today's message.
It's all about turning over your life and giving it to Him. And that's what we need to do. That honesty is characteristic of somebody who has demonstrated the image of God in that way. Somebody who loves God with all their heart, soul, and mind and has turned over their life to God and trusts Him with it. And so we need to be ready to do that. President Carter related a story, and it's a very interesting one that has to do with us being honest with each other and giving up our own desires for, you know, for other people. And he tells a story that took place in Plains, Georgia, at his mother's house shortly after he left office. And apparently a reporter came by his mother's house and knocked on the door and asked if she could come in because she was doing an article on President Carter and his family. And so, you know, reluctantly, she wasn't really in the mood for an interview, but said, okay, come in. And they sat down, and the reporter started pressing these hard questions at Lillian Carter. And asked Lillian Carter, she said, did your son ever tell a lie? As he was growing up, did he ever lie? And, you know, she'd been around the press long enough by now to know she was being set up. It was going to be a quote all over CNN. So she decided that she would answer it this way. She said, well, as a little boy, he told little white lies. Oh, so he did lie. And the reporter was ready to jump on the quote and run with it. And then he lied. Then the reporter followed up with another question, said, well, what is a white lie anyway? And Lillian Carter looked at the reporter and said, it's when I opened the door and told you I'd be glad to sit down and talk to you. And you know, a lot of our lies are just like that. We want to project. We don't want people to see who we really are, what we're really thinking. We don't want to, like, give up, you know, that image that we have of ourselves. And we tell all these little lies. Now let me stop and let's think this through a little bit. Because if we're going to be honest with each other, stop and think, what would it look like if we're really honest with each other? It's worth the fight. It's worth working through the disappointment in order to have an honest relationship. Are you with me?
Thanks so much for joining us today. Our prayer is that God's word will find good ground in which to grow and to multiply in the lives of our listeners. If you've been blessed by our ministry, we'd love to hear from you. We also invite you to send us your prayer requests. Our staff prays weekly for each and every one of them. And don't forget our special book offer, The Case for Christmas. You can reach us at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA 19446. Our online address is www.gogfministries.org. Our phone number is 215-361-8111. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Pastor Sam Butler, and all of us here at the GOGF, I'm Sheila King, reminding you that man looks for ability, but God looks for availability.